Sports Radio. So breaking news, Pat Fitzgerald, who has been the head football coach at Northwestern since 2006, played his college football there, coached a bunch of different positions before becoming the head coach at 2006, is now out from this hazing scandal. We'll react to this in just a second, but the first thing I think of before we get into the details and really break this down, even though you did have a feel that this was going to be coming, I don't want to say it's stunning, but if you look at the way that we were talking about Pat Fitzgerald a few years ago, you would have never thought that this would have been his ending at Northwestern. And no one could have predicted this scandal clearly, but this was a guy that was being talked about for NFL jobs recently. And it was talked about for the Packers a few years ago. And you would think that if he was going to leave, it would have been either for a pro job or for a bigger college football job. And you know that the way that he was loved at that university and the way that he was thought of at that university. And you just would have never thought that it would have happened this way, that he would have been fired from his job at Northwestern, where it didn't matter if the play ever got really bad. He wasn't going to get fired with the way that he is known at that university and what he's done for that university. But when you go into this story and you hear the allegations of hazing and then sexual things being done when a player is being hazed, it's almost as if the university, and we'll really go into the details in just a second, they tried to protect Pat Fitzgerald every step of the way, where you give him a two-week suspension in the middle of summer. What the heck does that even do? And then in the reporting, they said they couldn't find if he actually knew what was participating, what was happening with the hazing. And you know this, a head coach, he's the CEO of the program. And whether you think it's fair or not, whether he knew or not, you have to know everything that's going on at your program. And you know how crazy these college football coaches are? You know how they micromanage everything? So if this is going on in a locker room, we'll get to details in just a bit, it's tough to think that he didn't know. But then you had the statement from the players yesterday that fully supported Pat Fitzgerald. You had another player speak to ESPN who was anonymous, saying all this stuff was not true, and the other player had an axe to grind. So I don't know who's in the right, who's in the wrong, but it doesn't make Northwestern look good when it looks like you were trying to hide this from the public and just give a little slap on the wrist, two-week suspension, and then very shortly after that, you have this tell-all story of what may actually have happened at Northwestern. And maybe it was Northwestern saying, this is a legendary university, we're Northwestern, are people really going to care? It's also in a week where there's not a lot going on in the sports world. Where I'm not saying we wouldn't talk about this because the name Pat Fitzgerald, everyone knows. It's college football. But you look at if this was maybe in the college football season or right as well during the NFL season, does it get this much attention? But that shouldn't determine what gets someone fired or not. It's the actual details of the story. So once again, let's go in order here. There was an investigation, and they ended up suspending Pat Fitzgerald 2 weeks after an investigation found evidence to support a claim of a problematic conduct with the football program. I know this extends more than just the football program, but I'm focused on the football program for right now and just pertaining to this story because Pat Fitzgerald is now out of a job. And from then, it did say that one claim from one of the Nas people was supported, even though player counts varied and there was no sufficient evidence that the coaches knew about the conduct. So think about that. Originally, you're suspending a coach 2 weeks, but then in the reporting of this, you don't know if he actually knew what was going on, but I guess you're holding him accountable because he's the CEO of the program. That's a tough sell to me, where it's, oh, yeah, we're going to do something, but then we're going to say, the coaches didn't really know everything that was going on. And you give a very light slap on the wrist, 2-week suspension, where he's not missing a game or anything. He's not missing any significant practices right now. It's in the middle of summer. It's like, okay, you're going to go sit by a beach somewhere or go to one of your vacation homes right now, and we're just not going to pay you. That's pretty much what it is. So it does feel like that if they found that a claim from an anonymous player was supported, and then it's, okay, we're only giving a 2-week suspension, and we don't even know if the coaches ever knew anything, that they were trying to move through this, and maybe they were just naive enough, which I don't get how any university could do this in the year of 2023, how you could think, oh, you could just sweep something under the rug, and nothing else is going to come on out. With more outlets than ever, with more people having access to people than ever, if someone wanted the details of this story to get out, it was going to get out. So, this was an article that I was reading on ESPN yesterday that Pat Fitzgerald, it said, absolutely knew about hazing the program. This is what a former player told ESPN. Fitz absolutely failed by not intervening. Fitz knew, and he should have made it stop. And if he truly did not know, he should not be the head coach. Either way, he should not be the head coach because he's not monitoring and protecting the safety and well-being of student athletes. That's what a former player told ESPN over the weekend. Then, a current Northwestern player who asked to remain anonymous, this is in the ESPN article, said on Sunday that the former player whose hazing allegations launched a 2022 investigation informed him, that's when the allegation came out and then you had the investigation that just wrapped up, informed him of a detailed plan with the sole objective to take down Fitzgerald. The current player on Sunday relayed to ESPN a conversation he said he had this year with the former player to Northwestern trustees and other influential university figures. He just kept emphasizing, yeah, it will be okay. I'm just trying to take Coach Fitz, get Coach Fitz fired. The current player told ESPN, I don't think he's ever acknowledged what he's saying is not true. It was just like, I might embellish or exaggerate to get Coach fired. He said his sole goal was to see Coach Fitz rot in jail. And then that player, the former player, when talking about the current player, or the current player when talking about the former player said, the truth is none of that stuff happened in our locker room. So there you go, where you have two different accounts, and we'll get into what was actually being accused in just a second, where you have a former player saying X, Y, and Z happened involving hazing, and then you have a current player saying nothing happened in the locker room, and this player's just trying out there to go get Coach Fitz. So the university announced that 2-week suspension. Then more information came out and it spread like crazy in the last 24 hours. Now Pat Fitzgerald is out of a job. And I'm not saying it's the wrong decision whatsoever. Don't get my words twisted. But here's what the actual allegations are. And if these allegations are true, then Northwestern made the right call today. The former player told ESPN that the hazing was organized and widespread in Northwestern's program, often led by a group of older players called the Shrek Gang. The group would lead hazing activities called running, usually against freshmen or younger players who had made mistakes in practice, he said, according to the former player. Older players wearing masks would restrain the victim in a dark locker room and engage in sexualized behavior. The former player said, he was run as a freshman. They have been held down against their will numerous times by upperclassmen with masks on and have been violently dry humped in a dark room, the former player said. The former player said Fitzgerald would even at times signal for players to be added to the Shrek list with specific clapping motion during practice. He said he saw Fitzgerald make that motion at least 5 times since the 2020 season. So that's the allegation that's out there. Now, I don't know what is true and what isn't true, but if Pat Fitzgerald knew about any of this and he didn't put an end to it, he's got to be the biggest moron on the planet. You have that job at Northwestern for the rest of your life if you just operated your program the right way. And I don't know who's telling the truth. And who is it? But in the year of 2023, where hazing is not allowed, if you have players that you hear are making like a committee to haze players that did things wrong and they're dry humping players, that just sounds so wrong. And if you're a football coach, even if this was not you orchestrating it, but if you heard about it and you didn't stop it, and it's tough to imagine, right? In a college football locker room, there's 100-something players. And college athletes love to talk, and everyone knows the gossip in the locker room. If this stuff was actually happening, it's tough for me to think that the football coach just didn't know about it. And if that's the case, that the football coach didn't know about it, then how much control do you really have on your football program? So I know that there will be people, right, because this is athletics and it's sports and we have our emotions into it, and you have, I'm sure there's a ton of diehard Northwestern football fans, and you know the legendary status of Pat Fitzgerald at that university. I'm sure there's going to be two sides of this. One is going to be the side of, oh, this is just cancel culture. Oh, the coach didn't really know anything. Oh, this is just a disgruntled player. That'll be one side of it. And the other side of it is, if this is true, then yeah, Pat Fitzgerald only has himself to blame, because this did happen on his watch when he's the head football coach. And when you're a football coach in college, whether this is genuine or not, you look the recruits' parents in the eyes, and everyone gives that cliche line, I'm going to be a father figure to your child, and they're going to be under my wing, and we're going to make them from a boy and turn them into a man, and we're going to keep them safe. Well, whether Pat Fitzgerald knew about this or not, if this happened under his watch, you can't guarantee that safety to players when you're recruiting them moving forward. Now, it doesn't mean that Pat Fitzgerald won't get another job again in college football. Heck, how many times have we seen people do disgraceful things in college athletics, and then they go on a PR tour after sitting a few months out, and, or they get cleared of doing something wrong, even if it still may have happened, and then there's a school right there saying, oh, you can win football games. Oh, you can win basketball games. Here you go. Money, 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 money. Go do what you did at Northwestern and bring it here to our university that needs help in the football department or a basketball department, let's just say. So I would assume that he'll work again. But in terms of this job, yeah, I can't say I'm stunned today that he's out of a job with what I've read in the last 48 to 72 hours. The only thing that you could be a little bit surprised about is usually these universities take so much time. It's just how quick it did happen, because this went from, here's the 2-week suspension, to, okay, a big article came out about this, and now, after trying to sweep this under the rug and saying he didn't really know anything, or we couldn't find anything that he knew, now he's out of a job. And that's where we are today. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are going to take a side here and say, oh, he got screwed over, or oh, this is the right move by the university. This whole thing from the start, though, and this will be my take on it, it seemed shady. And it seemed like Northwestern was trying to protect Pat Fitzgerald, and they were trying to just get through this so the storm would pass and they would still have their head football coach. But with what came out the other day, they decided to change their course of action, where it goes from a 2-week suspension to now you're out of a job. And I don't think we even know all the details yet, but the way that it was presented to us is a former player said this, and then there's a current player who said, no, this didn't happen. And that release yesterday by the current players, the PR release that they sent out there, you know, was it the school SID that authored that? Because are you going to have all players agree on everything? Because if this is true, let's just say what happened in the locker room, does every player actually agree with that letter that they sent out yesterday? But if it isn't true, then yeah, you would have every player in full agreement. So there's going to be a lot to react to this one, but here's what we know right now. With what has transpired over the weekend, Pat Fitzgerald is now out as the head football coach of Northwestern. And once again, I'll say this. I'm not surprised he got fired, but it is a little bit surprising that this is how it ends for Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, where no one could predict hazing allegations and everything that we just talked about last 15 minutes. But the way that this guy has been talked about, where this guy was talked about for NFL jobs, or maybe one day he would say, okay, I did everything I can for my alma mater. It's time for me to go take a big time college football job. To see him get fired, you probably never thought that this day would come for Northwestern. But then once again, we didn't know what allegations were going to be made about what happened in his football program. And ultimately, how people are going to react to this moving forward is what truth actually gets out there and what is confirmed to figure out what the heck did Pat Fitzgerald actually know. But with the university firing him this quickly, I don't think it's just responding to everyone saying that this guy needed to be fired. I think it's more so that they got caught protecting their football coach and they got exposed a lot quickly and they thought they could just sweep this under the rug and then move forward. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. There you go. J.P. Crawford joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio with the Home Run Derby about to get underway in Seattle coming up at the top of the hour. And we'll see if Julio Rodriguez could give the home fans something to cheer for at the Derby, as you do have Luis Robert Jr., Pete Alonso, Mookie Betts, Adelis Garcia, Randy Arozarena, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Julio Rodriguez, and Adley Rutschman participating in the Home Run Derby that does come your way once again at the top of the hour. All righty, so appreciate JP joining us. Let's get once again right back to the biggest story right now that is developing and really did break in about 30, 35 minutes ago. We addressed it right at the top of this hour at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. You could always use the rewind function on the free Odyssey app if you want to hear that, where we really did delve into it. But Pat Fitzgerald is officially out as the head football coach of Northwestern. As we were talking about just a little short while ago, you had a investigation into the culture of the athletic department there at Northwestern, and there were allegations that were being made, nothing that we really found out about, and all that we knew was that the coach was getting suspended for 2 weeks in the middle of the summer, which basically means nothing. So it's slap in the wrist, and they did say in the reporting they don't know what the coaches actually knew. And then over the weekend, through student journalism, it came out that one of the former players, who was anonymous, did reveal that there was a committee that was formed with some of the older players that would haze the younger players if they messed up in practice. And they would, sometimes the players would be stripped down naked, and there'd be like dry humping that was involved, things like that. Some really disgusting things when you go through the allegations. And then it was being reevaluated, the job status of Pat Fitzgerald. And once that happened, that's a change in tone from the university, who, the way that I interpreted it, with finding out the information I just told you as the most recent, where you really sort of say, oh, wow, this is a big deal with Northwestern football. And it's, oh, the coach only got a 2-week suspension. That to me seems as if this was a cover up and something that the university was trying to slide under the rug, and hopefully this would just blow over so they could keep their football coach. You know what Pat Fitzgerald means to that Northwestern program. And once again, I don't know what is accurate here. It's allegations being made and then current players speaking anonymously saying, no, this stuff isn't true, and this former player is out to get Coach Fitzgerald and all that stuff. But the university, who it at least appeared in my thoughts on this, whether it was they didn't really know what happened and they thought they had to punish the coach, or they were trying to slide this under the rug, they had a total change of this after that article did get released from the student newspaper. Now Pat Fitzgerald, his career at Northwestern does come to a close with him getting fired. And there's going to be a ton of reaction to this. People are going to passionately defend Pat Fitzgerald because that's how you know what happens with college football fans. And they're going to think that this firing was premature. And there's going to be other people that are going to say, well, if this stuff is true, whether Pat Fitzgerald knew about it or not, it's his job to know everything that's going on in his football program. And it's tough to imagine that he did not know if this stuff was going on in his football program. And ultimately, now he's out as the head football coach of Northwestern. So I said this before, I'll say it again. I can't say it's incredibly shocking with what we've read over the weekend and the way that this story just quickly developed, But you look at Pat Fitzgerald and what he's meant to that university. And a few years ago, we're talking about this guy maybe getting an NFL job. For it to end this way, clearly no one would ever think, oh, yeah, this guy in 5 years is going to get fired from hazing allegations. But the way that he's talked about and the way that he's revered and the way that he's respected, a lot of this is stunning. But I can't say that you're totally shocked that he's out of a job, because when you read all this stuff that comes out on Sunday and starts to hit the national news outlets, it did feel as if it was inevitable that either they were going to give him a significant punishment, because what happened for 2 weeks was nothing, or this was going to turn into the most likely outcome, which did happen just a few moments ago, where Pat Fitzgerald is fired and is out of a job reportedly at Northwestern. So more to come, I'm sure, when we maybe get some of the truth out there, because right now it's, this is out there and it's true. Oh, and then someone says, no, it isn't. So I'm sure we'll get more and more details as this does progress. But all we know for now is Pat Fitzgerald is out as the head football coach at Northwestern. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Pat Fitzgerald is now out as the head football coach of Northwestern, as we've been reacting to that. Bob Huggins, who we thought was out as the head basketball coach of West Virginia, as he made homophobic comments on a radio station, and then shortly after that was arrested for DUI. Well, we all thought he resigned and that was it. And he checked himself into a rehab, and I guess he's come out of that rehab and he said, no, I never resigned. And now the university and him are going back and forth in a litigious situation, I'm going to assume is going to come out of this, or they're threatening a litigious situation. Bob Huggins just continues to look like a huge moron here, because it was you who shot yourself in the foot not only once, but then twice. And then you resign what? To then maybe think in your mind, okay, I'll just put that out there. Then I'll go to rehab. And then the university is going to want you back? Like that makes no sense to me. So we'll talk about Bob Huggins later on in the show, and we'll continue to react to Northwestern getting rid of Pat Fitzgerald reportedly following this hazing scandal throughout the university, which we've just found out a ton of information from what we thought Friday was just a 2-week suspension to now on Monday he's out of a job, with a lot of details coming out about hazing allegations and the actual details of what did occur with those hazing allegations that were, I guess, from a former player, with the way that I've been reading it, that talked to the student newspaper at Northwestern. So a whole lot to get into there. But right now, let's update you on some of the other biggest storylines in the world of sports with some audio. We call this segment the News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So we go to UFC 290. This was after the Pantoja victory, which was really cool. Now everyone's pulling for Brandon Moreno that was in the arena. He's getting booed. And then he said, guys, you wouldn't be booing me if you knew my story. And he revealed this.
I leave everything I have. My mom take care of me and my two brothers alone, you know. Now, Dad, you proud of me, Dad. You proud of me.
I thought it was a really cool moment when I was watching the fight, because with Moreno being from the Vegas area, people were pulling for him in that building, and then Pantoja wins, and that fight was awesome. Now I had money in Pantoja as an underdog, which helped me get the first leg of my parlay, and then Volk ended up winning, so we ended up cashing on that. Big thank you to Pete Hoffman, who is like a clairvoyant talk show host and producer behind the scenes here, and then sometimes on the air, when it comes to UFC, which he gave me the tip on why I should bet Pantoja. But you just see all those guys leave everything out there, and Pantoja wins, and he falls down right away because the emotions overtake his body, and then the crowd starts booing him. And I felt bad for the guy. Like, you have these two guys that are slugging it out. It's this great fight, unbelievable, and everyone's booing him just because they wanted to see the other guy win. And then he gives you the personal side of this with what happened in his story. And I saw today on a few shows, one being Ariel Helwani, that he revealed that two fights ago for him, he was delivering Uber Eats. So how about that? So really remarkable story. Let's go to Ellie De La Cruz. This was over the weekend. This is courtesy of John Sadak via Bally Sports Cincinnati. So De La Cruz gets on base. Then on two pitches, he found a way to get home, and there was no ball that was hit, it was because he stole second, third, and home. Here was the call.
He takes off again. Pitch down and in. Fame throw. There's no chance. Two steals.
De La Cruz had already looked a couple of times at Brian Anderson, knowing that if he got a jump.
He's going home. The throw. He stole home. The most thrilling man in baseball stole second, third, and home.
What a call by John on Bally Sports Cincinnati, the TV play-by-play man for the Cincinnati Reds. Great call. And right now, we all know Ellie De La Cruz has been so entertaining. And usually when we talk about baseball on this show, it's a controversy or it's some drama or it's some old guy yelling because someone had a fun bat flip. But recently when we've been talking baseball, it's a lot been about the future of Shohei Ohtani because he's been the best player in the game, his best player on the planet. And then also it's been the emergence of Ellie De La Cruz, where baseball is giving us moments now where we've never seen things happen like this before, with Shohei Ohtani being an elite pitcher and then being the best power hitter in the sport right now and the best hitter in the sport right now. And that's one of one that's Babe Ruth-like and exceeding, right? What Babe Ruth has even done, and you got to go more from a historical standpoint, but you get what I'm saying. And then for Ellie De La Cruz, just the entertainment factor, I've never seen anything like that where a guy steals second, and then the next pitch steals third. And the next thing you know, mental breakdown or not, he's all the way at home plate. That was unbelievable and really, really cool. Let's go back to the Octagon UFC 290. So after DuPlessis wins, this is going to set up a DuPlessis fight up against Israel Adesanya. And Israel Adesanya was going on this whole rant to try to prove who was more, you know, from Africa. And then he said, or he was trying to say, like, let's take a 23andMe test, but he got all of it wrong. Listen up.
I'll tell you one thing. Yo, I don't need a DNA test. I don't need a 36andMe to know where I'm from. You don't even, if I do a 26andMe, they'll say I'm from Nigeria. Do a 26andMe DNA test. It'll tell you where you're from. I will show you where you're from.
So a buddy of mine on Saturday night said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm watching the UFC fight at my apartment if you want to come over. And he goes, yeah, absolutely. Let's like order up dinner and drink a few beers and we'll watch the fight. Now, he's not a big UFC fan, my friend. And he's watching that press conference afterwards, or the interruption in the Octagon. And he goes, did that guy, and he knew nothing about Israel Adesanya, did he just say that he wants the other guy to take a 36andMe and then a 26andMe? And I looked at him, I go, I know we're drinking a little bit, but I think he did just say that. And clearly he meant to 23andMe. If you're going to talk smack like that and you're going to go after someone like that, I know Israel Adesanya, right, is an unbelievable fighter, but you got to get the punchline, right? You got to deliver the joke. You can't say you got to go get a DNA test, go get a 36andMe or a 26andMe. And he knew he messed it up with the 36, and then he still got it wrong. And one thing, if you misspoke, and Dean Thomas, the former UFC fighter, now commentator, joined us earlier. He said, I thought for a second there was a new DNA test that he just didn't even know about. Here's Rachel Nichols talking to Joel Embiid about James Harden's trade request from the Sixers, even though he opted in and is still on the roster for now.
How did you feel when James told you or someone told you that he wanted to be out of Philadelphia?
Disappointed, but then again, I also understand, you know, it's business. People make decisions, and I'm more appreciative of the way he's handled the whole situation. We're going to be boys forever. Want him to come back, obviously, so we can go out and accomplish what we want, which is to win a championship. So hopefully that, you know, his mindset can be changed. But other than that, you know, I'm just so happy to be, you know, it's fine. We close and we've grown since he got here, and that's what I'm excited about, and I'm excited to keep that friendship for the rest of our lives.
Well, I'll tell you this. We know Harden wants out of Philadelphia. We know Damian Lillard wants out of Portland. If I was a betting man, and if you could get odds on this, I don't know if you can, you get odds on anything these days, I would say by game one, James Harden is still with the Philadelphia 76ers. And even though eventually I do think Damian Lillard will find his way to Miami, right now, if I'm a betting man, I would say that game one, Damian Lillard's also with Portland, because you had Joe Cronin, the GM of the Portland Trailblazers, just a little while ago. He said that if it takes months, it will take months when it comes to trading Damian Lillard, because they're just not going to give him away for anything. So it seems as if there's no movement on either front. Now, I don't think there's any movement on the James Harden front because the Sixers aren't getting enough back. It's because Daryl Morey still wants to keep him. He opted in. It's 1 year left. And what's really the market for teams wanting to trade for James Harden? I don't think it's that robust, where for Damian Lillard, it would be a robust market, but Dame only wants to go to one team. Let's hear Jerry West, the legendary Jerry West, the logo, who has high praise for Victor Wembanyama. Now, just to let you know, this was before it was announced that Victor Wembanyama is not going to play any more summer league games. Played two games over the weekend. One game that was underwhelming. The other game was really impressive. But now the Spurs are going to say, no more Wembanyama. Got a little taste of the NBA. This courtesy of NBA Sirius Radio, where Jerry West has a lot to say about Victor Wembanyama.
You rarely see someone that combines his brain and his ability. Just watching him play, it's an easy game for him to play. Very easy. Never looked like he's really working. And if you watch really great players, they don't look like they're working hard. They're always in the right place at the right time. But I think when he comes into the league, I think he'll be more of a if you watch him defensively, he ruins games. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of a bigger Bill Russell with a big reach, coming from everywhere, blind size. So any offensive player is going to have to be really cautious about where he is, because he's going to mess up some offenses, that's for sure.
So there you go. There is Jerry West talking about Victor Wembanyama. Here is maybe the worst public speaker of all time, and Rob Manfred, who I know I'm very critical of Rob, but at least he gave us the pitch clock, which has been good for Major League Baseball. But here is him announcing a pick at the MLB draft, and he just messed it up.
With the sixth pick of the 2023 MLB draft, the Oakland Athletics select Jacob Wilson, a shortstop from Grand Union University.
So you may be saying, Zach, what's wrong with that? Well, there's no Grand Union University. It's Grand Canyon University. And I could tell you exactly what happened. The A's are in the news because their owner is trying to move them to Las Vegas. We all know that. And Rob Manfred, because he's not popular for many reasons, getting booed, and he panicked. Because Rob Manfred, you even saw this at the World Series presentation when he's handing out the trophy and he's getting booed. It was almost like he couldn't speak a few years ago. I think it was when the Dodgers won. And now he's getting booed again, and he messed up. It's supposed to be Grand Canyon University, and he made up a university, Grand Union University. I Googled Grand Union, and I didn't even know this. It's a supermarket company. Grand Union. It's a supermarket company in New York and Vermont. So I guess this baseball player was great at throwing oranges and apples as a kid, and Rob Manfred calls it Grand Union University. Finally, here's Chauncey Billups, and if he'll be coaching Damian Lillard next season, courtesy of our friends at NBA Sirius Radio.
Say the first 2 years have been difficult, and one of the reasons is you're not sure what the roster is going to look like heading into next year. Obviously, you guys have been in the news a lot here with Dame. Do you think you're going to be coaching him next year?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know the answer to that, nor does anybody else right now, so we'll see.
Well, you know he's going to eventually get traded. The question just is, when will he get traded? I don't think it's a matter of if he's going to get traded anymore. All righty, that's a news brief. It is a Zach Gelb show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. If you're just tuning in, just want to keep on updating people on this. Northwestern has reportedly fired their head football coach in Pat Fitzgerald, as there have been more developments made from the hazing situation at Northwestern. On Friday, originally suspended for 2 weeks in the middle of the summer, which is basically nothing. Then an article did come out detailing some of the allegations that were made. And now today he is fired. And also in the world of college athletics, you have Bob Huggins now saying he didn't resign following his homophobic comments made on a radio station. And also a few weeks later, then a DUI arrest. And I guess he's trying to get his job back, and he's going to make this a litigious situation. So a big mess in college basketball and also college football. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Five questions, five answers. When we return, a little onside, offside, and Deebo Samuel will join us in 25 minutes from now.
We all have tasks we'd like to avoid, like mailing and shipping. It takes time lugging all those letters and packages to the post office. That's why you should try Stamps.com. For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. You get all the services of the post office right on your computer, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, you save money with discounts up to 84% on USPS and UPS. With Stamps.com, all you need is a computer and printer. Print stamps, print shipping labels, and if you sell products online, Stamps.com connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart, so you can spend less time on shipping and more time on your business. Get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Just go to Stamps.com and enter code PROGRAM.